welcome to a new episode of 49ers Talk on NBCSportsBayArea.com. Introducing your hosts, 49ers insider Matt Maiocco and 49ers host Laura Britt.
This is 49ers Talk brought to you by Big O Tires. I'm Matt Maiocco. And Laura, I did not think I would see you today because I've heard that you're out there fulfilling your civic responsibility.
I am. I was pleased, I guess, to see last night that you look online, you can look online or call this number, and it told me that I could call in at 11:15. So that's what I'll be doing. I don't know what my future holds.
Well, we haven't said. Jury duty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, that. Laura, yeah. You know what? The jury is still out on the 2021 NFL draft.
You, Maiocco, you. Yeah, you would.
Hey, and we have a great guest coming up very shortly, Chris Sims. He's very outspoken. You pretty much, he doesn't beat around the bush. What he believes, he says. And so our NBC Sports colleague, Chris Sims, is coming up here on 49ers Talk.
There was also a big day on Monday for the 49ers. John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan held a press conference. We're going to get to all of that, but let's listen to what Chris Sims has to say first.
At Big O Tires, you can trust that you're getting a good deal. Now buy three, get one free on select sets of tires with installation purchase. Plus, pay nothing today with easy and affordable financing options for nearly any budget. Big O Tires, the team you trust.
All right, we're joined now on 49ers Talk by NFL analyst for NBC Sports, co-host of PFT Live, and you also know him from Chris Sims Unbuttoned. It's, of course, Chris Sims. Chris, thanks for joining us.
Hey, what's up, Matt? How you doing, man? Good, thanks. Thanks for having me, man. You doing all right?
I'm doing great. I tell you what, I'll be really happy after Thursday because I know you've been at the forefront of the Mac Jones stuff, and I've just kind of been caught up in the wave of emotions from 49er fans. I heard you refer to Mac Jones as there's a lot of awesomeness about his football game. So tell 49er fans why they shouldn't be panicking, that they should be embracing the possibility of Mac Jones being their quarterback.
Yeah, well, you know, there's nothing not to like. That's what I'm going to say to the 49ers fans. And, I mean, hey, do you like Drew Brees? You know, do you like Matt Ryan? Those kind of quarterbacks? That's what Mac Jones is. And I would say he's better than them coming out. So who knows what he could be in the future? So the biggest thing, and I think with Mac Jones, that kind of gets lost in translation is, you know, nobody sees that one thing that just pops out to you, right? Zach Wilson's got this laser arm. We go, whoa, you know, Justin Fields, you see him running and you're like, wow, that's special. Like, holy cow. And it is. But there's flaws to those guys' games that I'd like to point out too, to go, wait, there's other things that aren't that special. Mac Jones, even though we might not have that one thing that we go, oh my gosh, there's not another area where I go, oh gosh, this is an issue. I don't know what he can do here. So people go, well, so what's so elite about Mac Jones? And I go, well, easy. The way he plays the quarterback position is elite. You know, and again, when you add it all together where you go, all right, one, he's the most accurate thrower in the draft. You know, so he's got that. He's the best decision maker in the draft. He's the quickest to go through reads and diagnose and pull the trigger and throw the football that I've ever seen since I've been on this side of the business. It's either him or Joe Burrow. It's like they can go one, two, and it's like, man, did they even see three? And they're already throwing it, and they're throwing it perfectly. In the pocket, Mac Jones and Zach Wilson are the two best in the draft. You know, again, I know he's not going to run for 40 yards down the sideline, but his ability to shuffle and manipulate the pocket and then always make the appropriate throw is special. And he has a lot of different clubs in the bag too. He can make every throw you need to make. It's not going to be Aaron Rodgers laser shows, but if somebody's open 60 yards in a bomb, he's going to hit them. He's going to hit the 20-yard out route. He can throw the slant routes. He can do it sidearm, whatever. But also, he doesn't need room in the pocket. You know, that's the other thing too. He can adjust his motion to, oh, wait, I got to throw it with touch. Oh, wait, I got to tighten it up, but still throw it hard. He can do all those things. So when I say, yeah, there's no one elite thing, what I really want to tell people is, yeah, well, when you add up all those things I just said, that's elite quarterback play. And that's where I think my friend Kyle Shanahan's got to like that guy. And I'll be shocked if it's not him.
Really? Shocked.
I will be I don't want to say yes, I will be shocked a little bit. Listen, I understand the intrigue of Fields and Trey Lance. I certainly think Trey Lance is the safer pick than Fields. Fields has some issues with the mechanics of throwing the football that would scare me. And I think that's why you hear rumors of him falling a little bit in that, because I think there's a lot of teams that see the same thing I do, and they're just like, ooh, he could be great, but he could be a bust. Lance has more consistency in his throwing motion. And, of course, I'd love to see what he could do with the Shanahan run scheme and all that type of stuff. But I think the other added point to that conversation, Matt, would be, I know everybody goes, whoa, what he could do with that Shanahan run scheme would be special. You know, I'd also go, yeah, but what Mac Jones could do with the Shanahan run scheme and then the passes off it could also be special. Let's not lose sight of that aspect of this conversation too. But I'd still be shocked if it's not Mac Jones.
Yeah, I mean, Chris, everybody knows you and Kyle have been best friends for such a long time. If it weren't Mac Jones, don't you think he would owe it to you with all those years of friendship to say, hey, Chris, pump the brakes on this Mac Jones talk. I'm looking out for you here. Wink, wink, nod, nod.
I hope he would. Yes, I would. Or this might be the final experiment to just prove to everybody that I don't know everything that Kyle Shanahan does or talks about in football. So maybe he loves this, that I'm going Mac Jones, and he can pick a Trey Lance and go, see, Sims doesn't know anything. I don't tell him crap. Maybe that'll be the final piece to me. Because really, I feel bad a lot of the times giving my opinions on the 49ers and things. I'm very self-conscious because whatever I say, people think I just got it from Kyle Shanahan, no matter what it is. And as I tell people all the time, it's really rare that we get into specific conversations about the 49er football team. We might talk about other positions in the draft, other things that are going on in the league, but he knows I got a big mouth, and I don't think he wants to compromise me either in that way. And of course, I don't him. So, we just don't dive down that road as far as the specifics.
Yeah, and the fact of the matter is you were on Mac Jones well before
the trade. Yes, exactly right. I let my quarterback rankings – I was done evaluating the quarterbacks completely probably by about mid-February. So, yes, that was before Kyle had, really dove into this whole process and got where we are now.
So the thing about Mac Jones is I don't think the mobility is an issue because, I mean, who wants a guy who's going to be running around? You want a guy – and, people say, he can't avoid sacks. Well, heck yeah, he can't avoid sacks because he gets rid of the football. That's how you avoid sacks. The issue with me for him would be Kyle talking about Drew Brees during his press conference Monday. And so when I look at Mac Jones, I'm like, gosh, does he have the arm that allows Kyle to push the ball down the field like he wants to? So, I mean, Drew Brees is an all-timer.
Yeah.
Who has a stronger arm, Drew Brees or Mac Jones?
Yeah, it's really close. I would probably give Mac Jones the slight edge as far as when he was coming out of college, And again, we're a little clouded with that conversation, right? Because we don't think of Drew Brees and what we saw in the last 3 or 4 years. That's not Drew Brees in his prime. Yes, Drew Brees was never Aaron Rodgers or Brady to be able to throw lasers or anything like that. But it's all about he can make any throw, and he can do it, like I said before, in a lot of different ways and do it with his mind pre-snap and always making, the right decision post-snap and then being able to react the right way and everything like that. So I would go with Mac Jones. And, here's another just like a context clue, right, to tell you that his arm is good and it's better than it's getting credit for in the public. Like, first off, their offense this year was different than the offense Tua ran the year before. And just without getting too technical here, it was different for one way. It was more aggressive It was more down the field with Mac Jones. And that tells you something. You know, I know there's good receivers there. Tua had good receivers. He had four first-rounders. This guy only had two of them. But the plays they called themselves showed me that Saban and Steve Sarkisian were like, man, this guy is a dead bullseye thrower 25, 30, 40 yards down the field all the time. And if there was a crack or a seam to put the ball in, man, he hits it every time. So that's where, you know, he's special that way. And that's where I pull my hair out, because I last year got crucified. I was going, Justin Herbert is way better than Tua. It's not even close. But everybody's been fed Tua, Tua, tank for Tua, tank for Tua. And you can't tell anybody wrong. And now this year, a lot of people have been fed the Justin Fields, Justin Fields, Justin Fields, Justin Fields. And you can't tell anybody wrong. And what I want to tell everybody is, like, first off, Mac Jones is a way better prospect than Tua coming out. And nobody had an issue with him being a top 10 pick. And I'm just telling you, they're not, it to me, is a notch above that player. So it's one of the weird things about the draft. And right now, Mac Jones just has some people that are, for lack of a better way, they're haters on him. There's no other way to say it.
Hey, I'm sure you're getting some critiques from your mock draft about Justin Fields, you know, and where you have him. Why do you think that's possible that he could, obviously you do, you put him at number 32 in your mock draft, but why 32?
Yeah. Well, I try to go through it logically, right? Like, I try to do it, you know, I want to be right with my mock draft. If I have no feel for which way a team's leaning, then I try to go, wait, I'm the GM, right? And I'm going to try to make the most, you know, informed decision I can for this team to make this pick and do all those type of things. You know, I look at it and I certainly, you know, can see a scenario where he falls, as you see in my draft. You know, one, I'm not sold Detroit. Detroit, I think that's very dicey that they take a quarterback at 7. I would say no. The Carolina Panthers saw the 49ers trade to number 3, I think assume that they want Mac Jones, and immediately called the Jets to get Sam Darnold. They're not going to draft a quarterback at number 8. You know, so now you get to the Broncos at number 9. Does Vic Fangio, who might be on the hot seat this year, does he want a rookie quarterback that's kind of raw and we have to develop? You know, to me, you know, the Broncos are a team that should be in the market for, hey, call Jimmy Garoppolo, call Teddy Bridgewater, one of those guys, to see if they can come and compete with Drew Locke. But so then after I got done with those teams right there, you know, Matt, I got into Washington, who I had trade up for Trey Lance. The Bears, I don't know this, but I don't think Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy are going to be given the green light to draft a quarterback. You know, one, they might be gone after this year. Two, same thing we just said with the Broncos. Do they want to deal with developing a young quarterback in the year where they could be fired? I say no. I have the feeling the Steelers are going to be all in on a Tom Brady, Tampa Bay, one more push for Big Ben. And that's where I kept getting to it going, wait, I don't know what the hell to do here. And I finally got to Tampa Bay and I said, wait, they have no team needs. They know Brady's leaving after 2 years, maybe 1 year. And this would be the perfect spot to him to sit behind somebody and do that. We didn't think Lamar Jackson was going to fall to 32 either, right? So you never know with the draft. It's a mock draft. We'll see where it goes.
Right. So you said you'd be shocked if the 49ers don't take Mac Jones. I'm assuming you'd be really shocked if they took Justin Fields. Would you be kind of somewhat surprised but can make sense out of it if they take Trey Lance?
Yeah, definitely could. That you know, like I said, I expect it to be Mac Jones because I know my friend and his history with quarterbacks, so I feel like I know him. But – like I said, I'd be surprised, but I see the logic. I would see the logic in drafting Trey Lance. I understand that. You know, again, I think with Shanahan, as good as his offense is, to add another element like a Trey Lance running the football and all that, man, that could give defensive coordinators a lot of headaches. There's no doubt about that. Is he ready to do all that right away, game one, do all that stuff? That's the other questions you worry about with Trey Lance too, but I can certainly see the logic and the appeal of a Trey Lance to Shanahan.
So Kyle says Sunday he can guarantee that nobody on the planet will be alive, let alone whether Jimmy Garoppolo will be on the roster. Where do you think Jimmy Garoppolo is? Do you think he's going anywhere? Do you think he'll still be with the 49ers through the weekend?
It's an interesting conversation because you could make a little logic out of both ways. You know, there is the logic where you go, hey, they dropped the quarterback at three. You know, they let that guy be the starter, and you have Jimmy G as a backup for a team that is kind of Super Bowl in the Super Bowl window. You'd like to have a good backup, right? Like the Saints the last 2 years, they missed Drew Brees for a chunk of time and only lost one game out of like 11 in 2 years. So that's how you do protect yourself. But I think ultimately the right thing to do would be to get rid of Jimmy G. And not to say it would be this weekend, but at some point between now and the start of training camp, I think having him in the locker room with no matter who they pick at number three could divide the locker room to a degree, right? If, you know, let's just say if, let's say he's the starter over a Mac Jones or a Trey Lance. Let's say one of those guys gets hurt in preseason football. Jimmy G takes over. Man, all of a sudden the 49ers are 8-2. Man, you're in an issue that way, right? So there's a lot of things I think that I look at to go, there's more headaches to have Jimmy G there than not to. And I would think between the Broncos, the Houston Texans, and the Chicago Bears, and maybe even the New England Patriots, that you could find a trade partner or out of one of those teams that would fancy a Jimmy Garoppolo in a trade.
Yeah, I agree. You can recoup some of your future draft picks. You can get a pick next year, whether, I don't know if you could get a one next year or a two next year, but that would be a way to go.
That would be the way to go. And I think what they'd have to do too, and this again, I don't know this, but I think that if they want to make this trade appealing to other teams and maybe get the draft value like you're talking about, Matt, like I have a hard time thinking Bill Belichick's going to take Jimmy Garoppolo for $25 million a year, right? They might have to drop his number or maybe pay a portion of his salary to get the trade they want back, you know, in return. I can see that being something that's, you know, tossed around in these conversations as well.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, whoever they take at quarterback, going to need some supporting guys. And I know you watch all the positions. I'm thinking a slot receiver, whether day two or day three. I'm thinking, a guy out of the backfield who can run those choice routes. Any names kind of pop into your mind when you watched him, you go, wow, this guy, you know, who's not going to be a first rounder, maybe not even a second rounder, but this guy's really a good fit for what Kyle wants to do.
Yeah, sure. There's, you know, I love the kid Tutu Atwell from Louisville.
He's tiny though, right?
He is tiny, but he'd have to be a slot guy, kind of a weapon type guy, you know, but, you know, not a whole lot smaller than like a Travis Benjamin or one of those type of guys who's been on the roster there in San Francisco. There's another similar player, and I'm going to mess his name up here. It's the kid from North Texas. I want to say it's Durden, Durden, D-U-R-D-E-N. Same type of thing, legit speed, you know. So it can be that slot jitterbug type guy, but with some of the Shanahan, you know, speed sweeps and wide receiver reverses, could be a real weapon that way. As far as just, you know, another guy to worry about along with Debo and our guy Ayuk from last year. You know, running backs, interesting position. The guy I like a lot, and I'd be interested to know if my buddy Kyle Shanahan has an eye on him, is Javion Hawkins from the Louisville Cardinals. He reminds me of Mozart or Breida. That's the kind of guy he is. He's smaller. You know, like them, it's about 190, but he's a guy that I think would catch Shanahan's eye because in that zone scheme, Shanahan loves those guys that can kind of stretch things out horizontally. Oh, now I see a hole. Let me put my foot in the ground and go 100 miles per hour. And Hawkins is a guy that could go 70, 80-yard type touchdowns and catch the ball out of the backfield. So those are a few names that jump out to me that maybe you can look for in the mid rounds that could help the 49ers out.
Sounds good. Hey, Chris, thank you so much. Your insight, your opinions, everything has made this draft process a lot of fun. And how much fun 49er fans are having hearing Mac Jones's name remains to be seen. But as Kyle and John Lynch both said on Monday, you know, this pick isn't going to be judged on Thursday night. It's going to be years down the road.
That's right.
If the 49ers win, people will ultimately be happy and they'll forget how they felt on Thursday. But if they don't win, then your buddy and John, they stuck their necks out for this one.
This is a big decision. This is it's a career defining moment for John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. There's no doubt about that. And you're right. I mean, the microscope's going to be on whoever they pick at number three, because they're constantly going to be compared to the other two they didn't pick. But I'll say this to all 49ers fans, man, Lynch is as smart and as good as they come. My buddy Kyle Shanahan is as smart and as well thought out as they come. He lives this. This is not something he just threw a dart at a board and was like, oh, I think we'll trade up and get a quarterback. You know, this is well thought out. They've done their due diligence. I know that. And they're going to do what they think is best for the team. So let's have faith in the two guys that have great football knowledge and get behind them no matter what it is, 49ers fans.
All right, Chris. Hey, thank you so much.
You're the man, Matt. Always good talking to you, buddy. Be good.
Dish and Sling customers, don't miss a game this season on NBC Sports Bay Area and NBC Sports California. Don't miss your A's, your Giants, your Kings, your Sharks, your Warriors. To keep watching your favorite teams, go to howtowatchnbcsports.com.
All right, that was Chris Sims with some interesting tidbits. And, you look at his mock draft and, there were a couple things that really stood out. But he's been very much on board from day one that the 49ers are trading up to get Mac Jones. And, of course, not coming off of that whatsoever. And, Laura, before we heard from Chris, you talked about the big press conference, the pre-draft press conference, John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan. And one of the interesting things, I think, at the very beginning was John Lynch kind of set the groundwork of, folks, we take our job seriously. Here is all the things we've done. And he ticked off 49ers representatives, scouts, coaches, whatever, have attended 176 games and practices of all the draft eligible players. Pretty much everybody that will be drafted, they have seen in person. They've had 400 Zoom calls with schools and everybody else to get background information on the prospects. They've interviewed 600 players either in person, over the phone, or on Zoom. They've attended 128 different pro days. In the past, you could have 350 players that you could get physicals for. They had 150 this year, and that's all down to set their draft board, 160 players on their draft board.
I love how John Lynch set that up. You know what he said? I know you media guys, something along these lines. I know you media people really like this stuff. And I think this is where John Lynch's previous media experience comes in, because we do love it.
Yes, I love it.
We're going to write it down. We're going to talk about it. I actually do find it interesting, because you wonder how much goes into all this. We hear about it and you think about, oh, that's probably a lot of man hours. But when he starts to lay it out like that and you start doing some math, which we know we're not good at that, but you can do some estimations and get to some high numbers of man hours going in, as they should, to find their future quarterback as well as their future draft selections.
Yeah, and what's always interesting to me is that when teams, you know, the 49ers have, he said, 160 draftable players on their board, but yet there are, 260 players who will be drafted in this upcoming draft. And so, it kind of shows you that teams are drafting for themselves. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but
that does sound ridiculous. Please explain.
Well, in that a player that one team might covet because he's a good fit for their system might not even be on the draft board of another team, because there's really no spot for him, because his skills don't match up with either the offensive scheme or the defensive scheme.
I feel much better about going on with the podcast now. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, that was, I have a way with words, don't I? You know, the 49ers are drafting only for the 49ers. Yeah.
Only for themselves.
Yes.
But makes sense now.
Yeah, but what I'd say is, like, 49ers like offensive linemen who can get out and move. So they're not going to take some, 360-pound bruiser at guard who simply can only maul the guy in front of him and who can't get out to the next level and pick off linebackers or even defensive backs.
Yeah, you want another obvious statement?
Yes.
They're drafting for their scheme, not for someone else's scheme. That's what
there
you're trying
go.
To say.
That's
so
why
only certain players fit into their system. Only certain players fit into what they're trying to do. And in the overused term that I've said so many times, phrase, whatever you want to call it, the puzzle. They're finding all the pieces to this big, beautiful puzzle.
You've said that? I've never heard you say that before.
I've said it a few times, I think.
Okay, maybe I just wasn't listening.
Probably so.
Yeah. Hey, so we talked about the work that the 49ers have put into this, obviously, as every team has. And John Lynch was talking about how he feels good about the next quarterback, the quarterback they're going to take at number three, because the 49ers are in a unique position of being able to trade up to number three overall, get their quarterback. And he feels like their roster is set up so that whenever that rookie steps in, he'll be in a much better position than any other quarterback that is generally drafted in the first five of the draft because of the supporting cast. So here's a little bit from John Lynch about going through that process and how they feel set up to give a quarterback all the support he needs.
I think it is a special class of quarterbacks. I really do. I think they're, I think they're excellent players, all in their own right. And I think they're excellent people. And it's been really cool, albeit most of the time via Zoom, getting to know these people a little better. And they're really some exceptional people that I think are going to do really well in our league. And, again, our charge is to go and, not worry about the anxiety of our fans, and hopefully, that there's some trust there what I can tell you is that it has been an extremely thorough process. We've thought of every angle and, we're going to do our best to find. I think it's a unique situation. We have the third pick, and typically, number three picks at quarterback, they're going to teams that aren't that good. I think our roster's pretty good. We got to stay healthy. There's a lot of things that have to happen, but I think our roster is pretty healthy in terms of the talent. And so I think it can be a really exciting environment for, who we decide on to come in and play when they're ready to play.
Hear those last few words, Laura. I think our roster is pretty healthy in terms of the talent. So I think it can be a really exciting environment for who we decide to come in and play when they're ready to play.
Big key there.
So
when
they're ready to play,
which goes along with my philosophy that I do think Jimmy Garoppolo is still going to be around for that exact reason. When they're ready to play tells me a lot about the 49ers' plans. That's not to say that if they get some outrageous offer, or maybe not even outrageous, a pretty decent offer for Jimmy Garoppolo, that they wouldn't trade him. I think that they would in that scenario just to make their future brighter. But I do think their ideal situation is to have this rookie quarterback come in, have Jimmy Garoppolo start the season, maybe even play the entire season, and have this rookie learn until they're ready to play.
I disagree. Here's what I think the best case scenario is, that they get a rookie who's ready to play and they feel, they've conducted so many Zoom calls with these guys. So I think they have a pretty good idea which quarterbacks are maybe more apt to step in and contribute immediately. But I think the best case scenario for the 49ers is to recoup some of that draft capital that they gave up in order to go from 12 to 3. So in other words, say the New England Patriots want Garoppolo and they're willing to give up a second round pick for Garoppolo. And I'm just throwing that out there. But typically, if you give up, say, a second round pick this year, you could also give up a first round pick next year as a trade-off. So you always trade that year. The draft stock is always one round behind what you could get for the next year. So in other words, if the Patriots are willing to give up a second round pick this year, maybe they'll give up a first round pick instead, give up a first round pick next year, and that would help the 49ers kind of recoup some of that draft capital that they spent to move all the way up.
I do think that they will in some way get draft capital back in the future. I don't know if that's going to be via this year or next year or in the off season or next year's off season. I'm talking about, who knows what's going to happen, but we do differ on that. May the best man or woman win.
Yeah. And here's what Kyle Shanahan had to say on that very topic about Jimmy Garoppolo and the reason that they're prepared at least to move on from Garoppolo. And I think it's stuff that we've talked about, but let's hear Kyle Shanahan talk about it.
The biggest thing with Jimmy is his injuries. It's been very tough for us when he's been hurt. And, you know, and it's happened two out of these 3 years. And that's where it starts. And Jimmy knows that. I've been very upfront with him with everything. And, you know, we've been Zooming these last 2 weeks. I'm excited to get him in here coming up, especially when this draft's over. But I feel very fortunate taking a rookie quarterback that we do have a guy like Jimmy, that, you know, we didn't sign a guy who's capable or has the history of being a starter right away. Well, we have a guy who every time he's been a starter, he's played at a high level. So to have that with Jimmy while adding a rookie quarterback gives us a lot of leeway into this. I'm not going to set anything in stone, but I know that's a situation that it would be hard to get rid of. I mean, when you take a rookie quarterback and you have a veteran like Jimmy who we know we can win with, just to move on from that is something that it's not easy to do. That is a good situation for us, and I think that's something that will be important to us this year.
So since Jimmy Garoppolo came to the 49ers in the middle of the 2017 season, the 49ers are 24-9 when he starts. That's really good, and that includes the postseason. But the problem, as Kyle Shanahan mentioned, is that he has missed 23 games since the beginning of the 2018 season due to injuries, the torn ACL and a couple of high ankle sprains. And so it's quite obvious the 49ers decided that more than anything else, you know, there might be some other issues too, but the overriding reason why the 49ers are ready to move on from Garoppolo is because they felt absolutely hamstrung with the injuries he had in 2018 and 2020 and how that pretty much destroyed the 49ers seasons and all hopes they had in those 2 years.
Yeah, and I get that. You can't wait around. You have this special locker room right now. Something that John Lynch talked about earlier was in his press conference was that this trade, the reason I think it's such a big deal is because of what he said. He said that typically if a team is picking a quarterback high, they aren't a very good team for obvious reasons. That's why you're picking high in the draft. That's not the case for the 49ers. And I think that's what makes this trade such a big deal, is the fact that they are such a great team and now have the opportunity to pick a potentially franchise quarterback, their quarterback of the future that they fully believe in. I mean, that was one big thing that I took away from everything that John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan had to say, is they really like a lot of quarterbacks in this draft. And they really think the quarterback class is strong. They obviously wouldn't do this move if they didn't. So I think they do believe that this person, and I think they know who it is. They kind of danced around that a little bit during the press conference, a lot of it. They know who they're going to take. They're not going to tell you who they're going to take for the reasons that we've mentioned here before. You got to play defense. You can't show your cards. So I get that they don't want to tell, but they know who they're going to take. It's just us waiting until Thursday to find out who it is.
Yeah, and John Lynch made it very well known that it really doesn't matter who everybody thinks they're going to take or who should they take. Ultimately, it's Kyle Shanahan's decision. And Kyle will make that call of the quarterback that he believes gives the 49ers the best chance of winning. And of course, he's talked to a lot of people along the way. And he said that when they moved up to number three, they did it with a third person in mind. Obviously, Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson were going to go 1-2. So they did it with a third person in mind. And he said through this process over the past month, he feels better about the guy that they originally thought about. And then he feels better about the other two guys that entered this mix. So wherever that is, a lot of people assumed, myself included, that the third person initially was Mac Jones. So let's extrapolate from that. 49ers liked Mac Jones back on March 26th. They like him even more now. And since then, let's just say Trey Lance and Justin Fields have also emerged into that top five. So, you know, why did the 49ers move up from 12 to number three? Because they wanted to dictate who was going to be their quarterback. if they stayed at 12, there's a very good chance none of those five would be there. If they moved up to five, then there's a decent chance that the fifth best quarterback on their board would be there. They wanted to get as high as they possibly could so they could determine for themselves who the quarterback for the 49ers will be long term. And as you mentioned, Laura, still a little bit of debate and a little bit of uncertainty about, you know, who's going to be the quarterback for the 49ers in 2021. Kyle Shanahan didn't bite. He talked about, hey, I can't even predict if anybody on the planet Earth is going to be alive, I'm paraphrasing, on Sunday. So I'm not going to predict if Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be on the roster. So, hey, at this point, I just want to make it through the draft weekend in one piece. I'm with Kyle Shanahan. I just want to get through it in one piece.
That's all we need to do. We have one goal: get to the draft, do our after draft show on NBC Sports Bay Area at 9 p.m. You can watch there, and do a 49ers talk podcast on the chaos that's going to ensue after this person is picked.
I cannot wait to get this over with.
Thanks for listening to 49ers Talk with Matt Maiocco and Laura Britt. Please rate, review, and subscribe for free on your podcast provider.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used, because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.